The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
In our fast-paced, technologically advanced culture that we live in, we often hear, especially television commercials, things like that, bragging about the speed of communication. And then every day, some of us come in contact with many, many people, and generally speaking, they are people we do not know. The people that we do know are often far away, and that generally means very limited face-to-face contact. And we also probably are somewhat fascinated by how many people use their phones almost constantly. I mean, in fact, we see them with their phone somewhat stuck to their ear. And yet, as the people of God, we certainly know that using our phones and other kinds of devices to stay in touch is not the same as fellowshipping. And yet, having said that, sometimes we also understand it's the best we can do. Over the past few decades, I have heard many of us protest about lack of fellowship. And the thing is, making that statement, the thing is, God's word is, well, very direct. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And of course, the day approaching is we're talking about the return of Jesus Christ. And so you see, brethren, God gives us plain instructions in these verses. First, we notice that we are to assemble, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. These verses, these holy scriptures that we're reading here, go on to tell us to keep each other in mind, and also they tell us to exhort one another. We also notice in these verses that we are instructed to do it more and more as time passes. It actually says, as you see the day approaching. So notice with me again in verse 24, God's word instructs us to provoke one another to love, and there's an implied to provoke one another to good works. And we can certainly see in several verses in the book of Malachi that gives us insights into how God responds to those who hear and who speak often one to another. So go with me to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, Malachi 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spoke occasionally with each other. It's not what it says, is it? They that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. He paid attention, and he heard it. He listened to it. He paid attention to this point. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. First of all, we notice that God writes or has it written, whichever the case may be, because in the actual translation, it could be either one. But God, I'm going to use the term, writes the names of those who do this in a book of remembrance. He's never, ever going to forget this. That's the point. Wow, when you really think about it, did you notice the key issues that he's talking about here? There's people's names who are written in a book of remembrance before God so that even God is never going to remember that. And I think as a result, many, many others are never going to forget either. The key issues here are, first of all, number one, fearing God. The second point is that they think upon His name. And the third one is that they speak often one to another. So I ask, do these things describe us? You see, brethren, God considers such believers, those who do these kinds of things, such believers, He considers them to be very valuable. And He treats them, as He says, as His jewels. Brethren, I think it should be obvious to all of us that clearly God wants His people to fellowship, and clearly God wants His people to build up one another as we stay in touch. Here, let me define the word fellowship. The Holman Bible Dictionary, this H-O-L-M-A-N is how that word is spelled, Holman Bible Dictionary states, and I'm quoting this, reading it verbatim from the book, fellowship is the English translation of words from the Hebrew HBR, that's the Hebrew word, and the Greek KOIN. The Hebrew HBR was used to express ideas such as common or shared house, as it states in, as we can see that in Proverbs 21:9. Or it infers binding or joining, as we can see in Exodus 26:6 and Ecclesiastes 9 in verse 4. Or it can also represent companion, as can be seen or translated in Ecclesiastes 4 in verse 9. And of course, I think we all would understand, not just any old fellowship is acceptable. It has to be done the way that God intends, God's way of fellowshipping. Brethren, I want us to see and to understand, as members of the body of Jesus Christ, the Church of God, we have been invited to share in God's body building project. We have been assigned a great undertaking. We have been selected to become one with each other, just as Jesus prayed on that night that He was taken, and that next morning He was crucified and died for us, just as He prayed that we would be. Go with me to John 17. John 17, beginning in verse 20. John 17 in verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. The first part is talking about His disciples that were with Him. The second part is talking about us. So He says, I'm not praying just for these that are here. I'm also praying for those down the line. That's you and me and others. That they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me and I in You. That they also may be one in Us. That the world may believe that You have sent Me. And the glory which You gave Me, I have given them. Wow. That they may be one, even as We are one. I in them, and You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. That we all may be one. Is this for real? Is this for real? Does this really apply to you and to me and to others? I have entitled this message today, God's Bodybuilding Project. I'm not talking about this kind of bodybuilding. I'm talking about the body of Jesus Christ, which is what we're all part of. God's Bodybuilding Project. And brethren, we need to understand and we need to realize that there are many scriptures in God's Word that focus on this point. You see, brethren, God fully intends that the church that He began over 2,000 years ago will one day be united into one body of Jesus Christ. I think it's a really good question to ask at this point. So what does becoming one body look like? Well, many of us used to think it meant belonging to the same corporate structure. And the truth is, that was one form of unity. Yet, however, that was certainly not the full story. In spite of the divisions of the past few decades that we've all seen or heard or been part of or whatever we want to say in that context, God's true church is still alive and well. And what I mean by that is true believers are still growing. So here, I'd like for us to focus on who God is. And I mean both Father and Son. God, parentheses, God and that's Father and Son. God is the Almighty, the Eternal, the All-Knowing, the All-Powerful God being who knows how to create and how to sustain. Now, with that in mind, with that statement, please go with me to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. Hebrews 2 and verse 10. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are things. That him there, of course, is referring to Jesus Christ. To bring many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Brethren, let's bring it to the forefront of our thinking here that with all that God has invested in bringing many sons to glory, we ask, how can any believer possibly think that God cannot unify the church and keep it on track to completion and perfection? How would we possibly come to the conclusion that it's not there, that it's not done? We're saying God failed to do that. How could we ever do that? I don't know, perhaps maybe some of us have become discouraged because of the different divisions of the corporate entities. Yet, God is not divided. So cheer up. I'm not saying any of you are not cheered up. I'm saying let's cheer up. Let's recognize the fact that who's in charge? God is in charge. And I said both Father and Son. They're in charge. God is in charge. He knows what He's doing. Probably some of us, whether it be some of us here or some of us are hearing this or some are going to hear this as a tape later, whatever, some of us need to turn our focus away from our failed expectations and hopes and get on with accomplishing God's work. And oh yes, I understand some would probably ask, what is God's work? Well, I'd like for us to take a look at a Bible definition. Go with me, if you would, to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. We're going to begin reading in verse 8. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, but we are his workmanship. Let me read that again. We are his workmanship. Wow. We are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. This is the work that he's doing. Continuing on, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now let me ask you, did you catch that point? Here, Paul's letter to the Ephesians tells us that we are God's workmanship. God created us with great purpose in mind. He called us, brought us into the body of Jesus Christ with great purpose in mind. And I mean, having stated that he has things for us to do. And one of those things for us to do is to edify one another. That's what we read. That's what we read. That's what we're going to be focusing on here. God's bodybuilding project. And just in case anyone does not really understand the meaning of this word edify, the Greek word for edify means, and if you're looking at a literal translation, it would be a building, meaning the edifice, the structure, serving as a house. In a more figurative sense, or in a the sense of the word, would mean constructive criticism and instruction. And that constructive criticism and instruction would be that builds a person up to the suitable dwelling place of God. In other words, where the Lord is at home. And that is saying the promotion of spiritual growth, the things of building up. That's what the word means. That's how it is used. That's how the sense of the word is. Now, with this, go with me to Romans 14. Romans 14 in verse 19. Romans 14 in verse 19. And I'm going to read this from the New American Standard Bible. Romans 14, 19, so then let us pursue the things which make for peace and building up of one another. Romans 15 and verse 2, Romans 15 and verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. In other words, we are to be lifting him up. We are to be doing things to lift our neighbor up. I'm not going into the definition in a study on the word neighbor here, but I think we understand. A neighbor is anyone that comes in contact with. Well, as part of the body of Jesus Christ, everyone in that body is a neighbor. Okay, now. Go back with me to Ephesians. Go back to the book of Ephesians. Go back this time to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Ephesians 4 verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him and all things which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We're part of the body of Jesus Christ. part of the instructions, part of the reasons why we're part of the body of Jesus Christ is to be there to encourage and to be lifting up one another who's part of the body of Jesus Christ. No question about it, brethren. True believers need to be discerning and they need to be wise. Now go with me to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 1. Many of you will know this. Many will probably even have this verse committed to memory. That's good. Proverbs 14 and verse 1. Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hands. Nothing wrong with that translation, but I want to read it from the New American Standard Bible because there's a couple of different words, and I think it would suit us in our culture and our way of doing things today. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. While some have been busy plucking down, God has not been moved from his purpose. He is still at work. He is still creating, and he is still perfecting his church. God is still in charge, placing members within the body where it pleases him. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. So, now, brethren, if you would, let's go back, and I want to go back and reread Proverbs chapter 14 in verse 1, because we're going to do a little focusing on this particular concept here. Proverbs 14 in verse 1. Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pluck it down or tears it down with her hands or with her own hands. Please understand, this verse is prophetically referring to the church. Yes, every physical woman in her marriage, if she tears down her house, I'd be a foolish person. A wise woman is going to build it up. This is prophetically speaking to the church. What we also need to notice is that there are two parts here to this verse. One part involves the building or the building up, while the second part involves avoiding those things that would pluck or would tear down. And clearly, the wise woman builds. Only the foolish woman would pluck or tear down her own house. I think you're with me so far, right? Okay, and now I want us to focus on the building aspect of this verse. And God willing, we will look at the plucking or tearing down aspect at another time in another sermon. But let's focus on the building aspect here. So again, since we know where we're focusing on here, again, I want to repeat, true believers need to be discerning and wise. Brethren, we need to know how to build up, and we need to know how to avoid plucking down what God has intended eventually to become a perfected body. Remember, I go back and restate, we're all part of this one body, and part of the reason why, we're there is to build up every one of each other within this body. Okay, let's get that. Let's understand it. Now, let's also understand that you see, brethren, that God has enlisted us and given us the great privilege of assisting in his body building project to build one another up. Yeah, he tells us exactly how to do it. We either do or we don't do what he's instructed. So we're going to focus on let's do it. This is what he says, so let's do this. So, let's get busy, let's be on track, and let's stay on track. Now, go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5, and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. In other words, if you're part of the body, you're doing this. You understand? That's just what he's saying here. Comfort yourselves together. This is talking to the body, to this one body that he's making perfected. Can this body be today, spiritually speaking, in different locations? Yes. Is the goal that Jesus eventually, that God the Father and Jesus Christ eventually going to bring it all together to the perfect one body? Yes. So we're told, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Build up one another, even as you do. We also need to realize and we also need to acknowledge that God has given us the job. And it's more than just a good idea. It is a responsibility. He's not just saying, I want you to be part of the body and building up one another, and I think that's a good idea for you to do. Understand, that's not a good idea. That's what he is saying. He is not only saying that this is what the church should be doing, he is saying the church is doing, will be doing. God's church is to be a place of comfort, and it is to be a place of love. Therefore, we ask, so how do we do this? How do we do it? The Apostle Paul exhorted the Romans, it says, to follow after peace and the things that edify. The Psalms tell us to pursue it. In other words, to go after it. The word pursue could be follow after. It could be seek. In other words, you're on its trail. You're doing it. You're supposed to be doing what it is telling us to do. And pursuing something takes active effort. It is not passive. It is not a ho-hum. Well, others in the body, they're doing that. It's not my part. I don't have to do that. Wrong comment, wrong answer. And God intends that we really go after peace and edification. Again, it's not a suggestion. Go with me to Romans 14 and verse 19. Romans 14 and verse 19. I'm going to read this from the New International Version. Romans 14, verse 19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and what leads to mutual edification. Let's do whatever it takes. Go with me to Psalm 34, and verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Go after it. Go after whatever it takes to lead to peace and to mutual edification. This is what he's saying. This is what he's implying. These two verses. So, brethren, what we need to realize is that there are several essential parts connected to our body building project. I guess more technically I say to God's bodybuilding project that we're part of. One of the foundations of our work is to do it in love. We already read a verse, already talked about that some, but we want to talk about this a little more. Some of the qualities of love are expressed and expounded upon in 1 Corinthians 13. And in that chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, love is referred to as charity. And the reason that this characteristic must be part of the bodybuilding project approach is because love builds up. It edifies. That's what the Bible says. Now, I'm not going to read 1 Corinthians 13. You can read all of it and you can come to that conclusion that love builds up. love edifies. But I do want you to go with 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Now, notice the next part of this verse. Knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. Knowledge puffs up. Charity edifies. The Bible also instructs us to please others. Go with me to Romans 15 and verse 2. Romans 15 and verse 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good. His is the neighbor. For our neighbor's good, to edification, to building up our neighbor. I already talked about who our neighbor is in the context of the church. It's every other member who is part of the body of Jesus Christ, all part of this church. Pleasing others is not to be political. It is not to be something that is self-seeking. In other words, God intends for us to use it to edify, to build up, to strengthen one another. Another thing that I want us to understand, other thing is of our part in being part of this bodybuilding project of God that he's doing, that we have been enlisted into. He has also given gifts to the church of God to use to edify the church, to build up the church. And when you use the word church, you're talking about all the members within it. Jesus is the head. All the rest of us make up the body part. And brethren, we need to use these gifts that God has given to us. And we need to respond properly to the gifts that he has given to others for the edification of all. I think this is a point that we sometimes we read these verses and we go, okay, we all got different gifts. We don't really focus on the fact that we have different gifts within the body is because God gives it to us so that we will edify one another. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. In other words, we all fit. We all have something to do wherever it is, according to the effectual working and the measure of every point, which makes increase of the body unto the edification of itself in love. Yeah, we read that verse earlier. We all have whatever gift it is we have because God gave it to us so that we will use it and share it with one another for the purpose of building each other up, edifying everyone within the body of Jesus Christ. God gave us the gift, whatever it is, for that purpose. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to build up the church. If you really see this in the context, it's showing us. Now, I understand ministry's got bad raps today for good reasons. But I'm saying in the body of Jesus Christ, the ministry is there for, as a gift to the church, for the building up of the body. Then you notice in verse 13, the next verse, that we are told one of the major purposes of the ministry, till we all come. The ministry is there to help us, to guide us, to edify us together. We're all doing the edifying with one another, all doing our part, ministry, non-ministry, doing our part. But the ministry, it says, is there for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow. Not asking the question, kind of thinking it out loud. Do we really think the minister is doing this today? Also, brethren, it's being part of this body, this part of this bodybuilding project that God has got going on, and we're part of it. For us truly to edify one another, we have to avoid schisms. That's the word in the scriptures. The word that we would use is we avoid divisions. And we also must have the mindset that each and every one of us is important in the body. No matter where we attend. First Corinthians 12, verse 25. That there should be no schisms or divisions in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And where one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I want you to understand, I'm just making the statement. This is one of the reasons why we do a major portion of our announcement services every week is the prayer requests. And we send out prayer requests. We don't care where the people attend. Or even if they are part of the body, if they are part of, you know, a family members that are part of the church, you know, whatever. This is why we do this. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. You see, brethren, when we stay in touch with God, in other words, being in his presence with thanksgiving and praise, we are more likely to be able to keep the unity of his spirit and have a bond of peace with God and with our fellow members. Ephesians 4 and verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. Edification will also best be accomplished when there are certain things that are happening. One, when we love truth. Two, when we trust God and his people. Three, when we appreciate one another and we express that appreciation for each other. Four, when we listen to others without judgment. Five, when we take the feedback from other true believers. Six, when we are courteous and thoughtful. Seven, when we are encouraging and optimistic and seeking the good in situations rather than finding fault. I think we're on eight. When we treat others as valuable and speak often with them, preferably face to face, certainly as the situation allows for that, and doing this, always remembering that God has paid an awesome price for them as well as he has for ourselves. I mean, think about it this way, brother. And after all, edification infers unity. And God's Holy Spirit is the source. God, our Father, sent His Son as our Savior so that we can all have eternal gifts and all have joy with them. Them meaning Father and Son. It is through the Holy Spirit that God will bring to the place that spiritual edification and exist, and it will continue to exist. Our part involves keeping the peace that He makes possible. Peace. So, brethren, somewhat bringing this to a close, as each one of us consider these things that we've heard today, that we've read today right out of Scripture, let each one of us determine to fervently seek peace and unity. And, brethren, let each one of us determine to fervently seek all of the things that edify, all of those things that build up one another. I mean, after all, we are all part of God's body building project. The Aaronic blessing And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speaking to Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless each one of you, brethren. God bless each one of you. Happy Sabbath. Love you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.